Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. All this week, Pastor Brian Parrish has been going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 5 with a message entitled, Being Prepared for God's Work. And today, Pastor Brian wraps up this week's message. So let's go to Pastor Brian from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Think of the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus finds out he's sick. He waits in the same place 2 days to give him time for Lazarus to die. Then he travels to where he's at. The sisters come out, and they both said the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Why didn't you stop this? Or you could have prevented it. So it looked like a dead situation. There was no hope there. Oftentimes, God brings you to that point, and that's when he brings life to the situation. And those women were sad. Their brother had died. The Lord could have stopped it. Seems like we've lost in this situation. The Lord could have stopped it. Why didn't he? And I have to say, I don't know. But I do know that he has a plan, even in the midst of this. And that's where my hope is going to be. So Jesus went up to there, and he said to them, where is his body? And they had to remind him, don't you realize he's been dead for 4 days? Like the Lord didn't know. And I like the way the King James says, but he stinketh. That's classic. And the Lord raises him up, didn't he? What looked like impossible, or his death there, God brings to life. And that's the type of faith we need to have here. It's not necessarily faith saying God's going to give us this property in this way. It's just, it looks like a dead situation. God, you bring it to life. We have to look to him. I don't have answers, but I don't need answers. There's a lot of times in my walk with the Lord, I haven't had answers. The only answer was to look to the Lord and to trust him, to watch him do a wonder. I believe that God's allowed us to be led to this point, and now he's seeing how we respond. I think the Israelites, they've been delivered this mighty power from the hand of God out of Egypt, and God leads them where? To the promised land? No. To the edge of the Red Sea, and they can't go any further, and here comes the army chasing after them. What does God want in that situation? Oh, Lord, you led us down this wrong path. And, well, Moses, what's wrong with you? And all this griping and complaining. People's hearts were disheartened. They should have trusted God and say, we don't know why the Lord's allowing this. Lord, it looks like we're in trouble. These guys want to kill us here. Here's the sea. What are you going to do? We're looking to you, God. We don't know what's going to happen. I believe that's the response. And God doesn't disappoint that type of faith. He'll redeem the situation one way or another. Go to another passage of Scripture I've held on to through this situation is Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And verse 1. Look at verse 1. The Psalm, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes right in there. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. And you say, what does that have to do with anything we're talking about? Well, actually, I'm kind of hungry after 3 services. No. This is most likely a statement that was made in the time that Solomon wrote this book that people would have understood, a common saying. Like we have sayings that mean more than what they are on the surface. And a foreigner would go, what are they talking about? But people seem to understand them. This seems to be one of those. And the good Bible teachers that I use as resources, they say it's a statement of faith. Because what happens if you cook a loaf of bread and you put it upon the water? What's going to happen to that bread? It's going to sink right down, right? Unless you're a horrible cook and you really burnt it, it may float for a while. But eventually it's going to sink, right? It's going to go, and you're going to lose it. But this bread, you're going to find it after many days. And the idea was if you put that out there on the altar, and you give it to the Lord, if it's brought back to you, then it's God's doing. God's brought it your way. And now you're assured this is the hand of the Lord. Because honestly, we don't want anything that the Lord doesn't want us to have. And whatever he wants us to have is the best, is the choice. That's what we're after. So we need to put this into the water, and it sunk. Okay, Lord, you could raise it from the water as well. You could bring it back to us. Maybe it gets sold and there's an escrow and it falls out of escrow. I mean, there's a million possibilities that could happen. Or maybe there's another piece of property. And I'm reminded of something that Chuck Smith has said through the years. He says, God never takes something away unless he's going to give you something better. Isn't that the nature and character of God? And he wouldn't lead us to a point of expectancy and then not give us something that he wants to bless us with. So our role is to cast it upon the water, and it returns to us, so be it. That's the hand of the Lord. And one of the brothers pointed out the following verses to me after one of the services. Look at verse 4, which says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb, or her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So we don't know the work of the Lord. And again, as I find myself in a place I don't understand, that's okay, because if I could understand everything about God, he wouldn't be that smart, right? And if you could understand him in all of his ways as well, that'd be a scary thought. Think of you running the universe. Think of me running the universe. I wouldn't be sleeping at night if I knew that you or I were running the universe. So God is, he's beyond our ability to understand his ways. Like the disciples, it should have happened this way. That was their hope. But God had something even greater that he was going to do. He pulled off a tremendous miracle, the death, burial, and resurrection. If you could stick with me just for a little bit more, I want you to go to one other passage, and that's Matthew 26. And here's a passage where tremendous spiritual warfare was going on. And I believe there's a few things we could see, because there's no doubt the enemy want to come in now and get us bummed out and discouraged and just bring about his seed of discord. And that's what he was trying to do here in the garden. And in verse 31, a couple places we'll look at in this chapter, it says, and Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. The last thing we need to do is turn on each other. We need to be united. Say, Lord, we don't understand what's happened, but our trust and confidence is in you. And this on a personal note, I didn't say this to the other services, but I will say this to this one. You know, I don't need your criticism. I feel bad enough. I had one person that said something pretty sharp that was just, don't you realize I have to go up and tell the congregation again what has happened? It's just like, I don't need that. It's not going to do any good. What I need is, hey, let's keep praying. Let's keep seeking after the Lord. We don't need people to scatter in their mind or in their hearts. I know what's at stake here, maybe more so than most. And so we need to be unified. And this is a wound. It's a difficult thing to bear. But most of the people, 99%, have been gracious and say, well, hey, we're with you. We want to walk by faith, and God's not finished yet, and continuing to trust that God has something for this. But we don't need to scatter at this point. We need to come together and be united. And the other part is in verse 40. It says, when he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping, said to Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? We need to pray. And you say, Lord, you bring about what you want to bring about. And it's interesting. I think it's the Gospel of Luke said they were sleeping because they were sorrowful. He got bummed out because he just tell them about their death, and they caught some of it. And the kingdom of God didn't come as they expected. And now all the leaders are upset at Jesus, and they're all bummed out, so they sleep. And we don't need to be wallowing in sorrow. We need to pray and say, God, work your purposes. And the last area that you need to be aware of is in verse 50 and 51 in relationship to spiritual warfare. So, but Jesus said to them, this is where Judas comes, friend, why have you come? And they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out the hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he would rain down $5 million at Calvary La Mirada if I wanted to do that? Lord says to Peter, I don't need your help. That's what Satan would want to inspire in us. Well, okay, what can we do? We got this situation. Maybe we'll go out and get a loan. If I walked in a bank and asked for a loan for $5 million, security, this guy's out of his mind. Get him out of here. Well, I know, we could have a car wash. 500,000 cars. See, that's about as ridiculous as Peter pulling out the sword and we'll take these guys on. God's kingdom's not going to be established that way. All you do is look to the Lord and say, Lord, you are our only hope in this situation. If you've led us to this point, we're not going to look to ourselves. We're not going to look to answers that our brain could, oh, we should have did this or we should have done that. And look to God, God, what are you going to do? Our trust is in you because you're a God that does not disappoint. Our hope and confidence and trust is in you. And again, the bottom line is God's work here is not based on 9 acres over in La Mirada, is it? It's based on the Spirit. His Spirit's doing something here in our congregation. That's what's of most value. That's what I prize the most. And trust that God will continue to do that, continue to disciple people and save people and plant churches and do crusades down in Mexico. All the good things are in place. It's not as if we've lost something as a church. We've lost the potential that was there, at least in that form. But we haven't suffered as a church. The work of God continues. So those are things that are most important. Yeah, there's a disheartening aspect to it. But God's going to do His work in His means and in His ways, and He's not looking to us to rectify the situation. We have to look to Him and say, Lord, You work Your plan. We're trusting You. And that's where we need to be today. And I believe that God will honor such an act.